Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 5. And take out your document that we have been ministering from. And there are some in the back. Ushers, make sure that our guests have copies of the document that we ministered from. Everything that we preach and teach here at the Grace Gospel Church, according to the directives that we were given from the beginning of this ministry, we put in writing. We don't preach anything or teach anything here that's not in writing. Amen. Hallelujah. I might say that every Sunday by 4 o'clock, whatever we have preached here is on our website. Free of charge. Amen. You can go to www.gracegospelministrytry.com or .org and go to the audio section, a link, and click on and hear the ministry in its entirety. That's the way it's been since 2004. Yes. We have over 200 messages on the website now from yours truly, as well as the entire ministerial staff here. Amen. And while you're there, you can hit icon and link and even get every piece of literature that this ministry has produced while we were teaching and preaching. And there are over 100 different writings on the website under Doctrinal Discourse and some other links there. And this document here is dealing with eternity. It is dealing with the essence of what eternity is, and also as it relates and compares. There's really no comparison, but as it compares, amen, with time. And so take your document, and it's basically dealing with scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity from manifestation in time. Everybody repeat after me, scripture distinctions.
Scriptural distinctions.
Of actualization in eternity. From manifestation in time. All right, now turn to page 16, and this is where we are. And this morning, we're going to focus on all possibilities were actualized in God's eternal decree. Everyone repeat after me.
All possibilities
were actualized in God's eternal decree. We have, again, on the second page, going back, just hold that page, we have a glossary of definitions, and many times that we are saying things that we have learned not to take for granted, that when we use terminology, that everyone is following what we are saying. In our glossary of definitions, which is on page, I guess on the second page inside, page 3. Actualization, everybody got that? Means to make actual, real, or turn into action a fact. Actuation means to put into action, start a process, incite, or move to action. Just dealing with what going to be dealing with the terminology we shall be dealing with this morning. When we look at existence, it's the state of being real or actually current rather than imagine. Decree. Decree means to command, ordain. It's an order having the force of law or principle, a formal or authoritative order. Men, it has one meaning with God, it absolutely has another.
Right.
One may command something but not have the power to bring it to pass. That's so when we say God's decree, we're saying what is.
That's right.
When we're saying man's decree, we're saying what might be, but not necessarily will be. Amen.
Amen.
Possibility. Possibility, and it's not in there. Let's turn back to 16. But to define what possibility is, last week we had looked into the scriptures and the Greek word there is thenaton. It is an adjective. And it speaks about that which is enabled, or that which is capacitated, that which is capable. So when we say possible, we speak about that which is in the truest sense, in the scripture sense, I should say. But men talk about things that possible. They speak of things that men that may be plausible, but more or less hope for to occur. When the scripture speaks of that which is possible, it speaks of that which has been enabled. In Romans chapter 12, verse 18, it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. What it is saying there, as much as it has been enabled.
Right.
We live in peace as much as God has enabled it. And you won't live in peace no more than God has enabled it. And of course, I know we're in the season of politics, and you got the, all of the candidates with divers, panaceas. This is how we're going to get out of this economic mess, and this is what we're going to do to stay secure, and et cetera, and so forth and so on. And of course, these are all possible in their eyes. Otherwise, I don't think that they would say it. But when they, but that which is actual action of it has to be tied to what has been enabled,
right.
What God has enabled.
Right.
You know what Jesus in Matthew 24, he speaks prophetically, and he says, when they shall say
peace,
then there shall come what?
Sudden destruction.
Amen. Now, why did the Lord say that? Because that's what he has enabled
at that
point. I think of those that are in the Middle East, and I think of our president, bless his heart, he's envisioning bringing peace to the Middle East. Not only this president, but every president before him.
Never.
Amen. Regardless of which party has spoke of bringing peace and stability to the Middle East. Yet the scriptures, the scripture doesn't say that.
No.
Amen. When we look into the prophecies of the Old Testament, as well as the prophecies of Jesus, and especially the prophecies that are in Revelation, it tells us that that's not going to happen.
Right.
Amen. Now, say, well, are you saying that we should not? No, that's not what we're saying. Amen. So that we don't be frustrated and disappointed and disillusioned, amen. What goes down is what God has ordained. You know that word that we just used? Amen. What God has decreed. What God has ordered. Amen. And he ordered it a long time ago. Amen. And whatever he ordered must be manifested. Nothing can manifest except what God has ordained.
Right.
Amen. Even the leaders, and I said to you last week, and I'll continue to say to you all year long up into the November elections, that, you know, you whatever candidate you want, you know, we don't play that here, no politics in here. Amen. Oh, my God, hallelujah. The agenda here is God's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Politics is man's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And doesn't mean that we don't vote and all of that, you know, some denominations. And no. Amen. Paul was a Roman citizen, and I'm sure he did everything But you don't see him writing about any of it. As you pick up the scriptures, at the time the Roman government controlled everything, and they were, and as all governments and all men are, because all men are depraved, amen, you're not going to be fair in how we rule and what we do. But you don't see any of that in our scriptures. Paul, our scriptures are oblivious to what was going on at that time in Rome.
Right.
Amen. So, yes, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that? We'll be good citizens and go vote, do whatever. Amen. Even if you want to work on a campaign, just don't bring that in here. Amen. I'm sorry, Joe. Amen. And we won't fall out whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, or whether you're in Mr. Nader in the Green Party. It doesn't matter. You know, we don't care. Amen. Because you know why we don't worry about that? Because according to the scripture, God ordains leaders.
Yes.
And whoever he has decreed to be the next president, amen, will manifest. And nothing else can manifest but that. Amen. So yeah, go on and vote. And I have an idea of who I'm going to vote for. And after I vote for him or her, amen. That's it. I'm not dependent upon neither him nor her. Because my man stays in. He always has, y'all don't hear me, always has been in, always did control, does control, always will control. Amen. Who is he? That's why when we come in here every Sunday, what are we going to talk about?
Jesus.
And when we get through talking about Jesus, it's time to go home.
Go home.
Oh, my Lord. The word possible, deals with what has been enabled. From it we get word potent, which basically means is. What is? Now, some say that means what is to be. No, what is? What is? Another terminology this morning we're going to be hitting on, and you'll see a lot of, is the term eternal objects. Everybody say eternal objects.
Eternal objects.
What are eternal objects? Eternal objects are those things that truly and actually exist. They exist now. They may not be manifested now, but they exist now. And everything that truly is, amen, is actualized by God's decree. And this is why the scriptures so many times speak of things as though they have already occurred,
right,
yet we don't see them.
Right.
But you see, we think that a thing doesn't exist until we see it.
We see it.
Until some man sees it. Or some man knows it. It doesn't matter. There's so much that we don't know. When I say we, I'm talking about mankind. We don't know. But it has no bearing as to whether it exists or not. Even in a very simple example of a tree that falls in the forest. Because nobody knows it, did it fall? Yes, it fell because it wasn't dependent upon anybody knowing it. No. See, we view things from a horizontal plane of being on the world.
Amen.
And that's not the way we ought to view things.
Yeah. Amen. Preach it. Amen.
Yeah. We ought to view things through the eyes of God conveying to us through his word. So what we really know is what the Word of God teaches us. Because sometimes you look at a thing and you think that's what it is, and that's not what it is.
That's what it appears to be,
but that's not what it is. And so we use the term feasible, a suitable. Jesus said to the Phoenician woman, it is not suitable, it is not feasible to give the children's bread to the dogs. Here he was dealing with the law, and of course, as you know, the law, that is the Mosaic covenant, was given to Israel, mm-hmm. and Gentiles was excluded.
Right.
And who Jesus was talking to was a
Gentile.
And what the Lord was saying, basically, is it's not suitable, a reasonable, a likely, amen, according to the word of God, to give for you to receive the blessings of the Mosaic covenant.
Right.
Why not, Lord? You gave it to Israel? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the reason, because I gave it to Israel.
Come on.
I have enabled these benefits for Israel, mm-hmm. but I have not enabled these benefits mm-hmm. for Gentiles.
Oh.
And so sometimes we wonder why a neighbor is blessed, or why a neighbor receives something, and we don't receive it. Why? Because God has enabled it for them and has not enabled it for you. See, what we don't understand, and I know we sing the song, it's no secret what God do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. That's the song. Amen. God has different plans
yes,
for different ones.
Yes.
Amen. Apostle Paul and Peter and John and James, Peter, James, and Paul, They died as relatively young men.
Right.
John, God kept him around to be 90-some years old.
Right.
And Peter questioned that thing, you know. The Lord said to Peter, at some point, you know, you go around and you're able to do what you want to do now, but at some point, somebody's going to have to lead you around because you're not going to be able. And Peter looked over there and said, John, what about John? Amen. And Jesus said, what about John? Amen. He said, what if John stays here till I come? Not that he was saying that John was going to stay here, amen, until he comes again. But he said, well, what if he does?
Right.
Amen. Success is knowing what the will of God is for you.
Mm-hmm.
And being in that will, that's your success. Mm-hmm. Is aligning, amen, with what has been suited, properly fitted for you in your life. God has separate plans
right.
for separate individuals.
Mm-hmm.
This is why some people, yesterday they buried a lady, amen, Mother Pitts was 103 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Born in 1904. Long time, right? In relative terms, if you live 100 years, how many months is that? 1,200 months. 1,200 months. How many days is that? 36,500. And of course, you pick the leap year. We just had a leap day a couple days ago. But 36,500 and some days. What is that?
Amen.
When you compare it with forever.
Oh.
That's a whoops. That's a drop in the bucket.
Yes.
And yet, God has different plans for different lives.
Mm-hmm.
He said, all souls are mine.
All souls
are mine.
Yes.
In other words, I am the Lord of all, and I decide for all.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
Preach it.
Thank God.
So some may live to be 100 and some years,
yes.
And others, why he does not decree them to breathe not one moment in this life.
That's right.
And so some are aborted.
God
didn't have anything to do with that. Now we're saying the stuff is going on out in the universe and God has nothing to do with it.
Oh.
I would rather think that God has a purpose. I mean, that's scary to think that something can be going on out there and God doesn't have any nothing to do with it, no control. Some die as infants. Some die in their teens. Some die in middle age. What's the difference? Because when you go across the spectrum, you see God's people right in there, don't you? Huh? Oh, yes, you do.
Sure. Yeah.
He has individual plans for individual lives.
Thank
God. Now think about this. Think about this. We look into the universe and we see the essence of all there is. And we compare it with the earth. Now we did this demonstration some time ago. The earth is in the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And we compared the smaller planets with the earth, and then we compared the earth with the bigger planets, and then we compared that with the sun,
mm-hmm.
and then we compared this solar system with the galaxy we live in, which is the Milky Way.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the Milky Way, the sun is just a dot. Because there are billions of stars
mm-hmm.
in the Milky Way,
mm-hmm.
in the one galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And scientists have concluded
mm-hmm.
that there must be billions and trillions of galaxies. So when you look into the galaxy, you can't see the Milky Way.
Oh.
And someone asked me one time, said, well, where's God? Where's God in the universe? I said, are you kidding? God is bigger than the universe. The universe is in God.
Oh.
Not God is in the universe.
Come on with it. Come on with it. That's it. Glory.
And the fact that he's everywhere is traced to the fact that everything is in him. And it doesn't even fully occupy him. God is bigger than the universe.
Hallelujah.
And yet, when we look at the universe and we see all of this out there, none of us can shrew or postulate that we have anything to do with what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
You have the black holes that are annihilating stars that are billion times bigger than the sun.
Ooh.
You have stars being born. You have stars colliding and dying.
Right. That's right.
In the universe. And so we see all of this happening, and when we look up there, if we are not right mind, we know that we can't do anything about any of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So all of the vastness of everything, and now let's focus in on earth. We get to earth, we're in charge. One little tiny dot that's invisible in the universe.
That's right.
And we're in charge. This is why we can't go on human rationing and human thinking. Now, in a minute, we're gonna go through some exercises here, which I think we deal with every day, as to what is possible, what's not possible. Amen. Let's turn to our section. All possibilities were actualized in God's eternal decree. That's page 16.
Amen.
Everybody got to say amen. One of the most intriguing questions that can be posed is God the impetus of all possibilities? That is, all that has been enabled. And if so, are all possibilities actualized in God? In general, most of the discussions involving these questions have reverberated more around the technical metaphysical issues than the Scripture's declaration of such. Now, rather than engage the devil's philosophical and theological discussions surrounding physiological processes, focusing on the question of what is, why is, and how can, it must be comprehended that all that the prevailing cogitation thinking should not be on how does God relate to mankind, because that's the way we think. We look at ourselves as the center of life,
right,
and God on the perimeter.
Right.
Many of God's people only view him as an accommodator. God, come and help me, or God, come and provide for me, and instead of God being in the center. So now life is not about what God wants, it's about what we want.
Right.
And we rate God on how he responds to our wants.
Sure do.
He forgives me this and that, God is good to me.
Good.
If he doesn't, well, God's not blessing you. But the focus must be what?
On him.
The nucleus must be what? God and what he wants. Someone asked a question yesterday at the conference. Does God answer our prayers? Yes, he does. Every time you pray, God answers. He said, well, I prayed for this thing and I didn't get it. That's because God said no.
Amen.
He didn't answer.
He did.
Huh? Some of us as parents, our children come in and ask some things, and then we don't just ignore them. What do we say? If it's not our will to give it to them, what? He said no. But of course, some of us don't understand that. You know, because we say, if you pray the right thing, say the right thing, do the right thing, live the right way, then God will answer your prayer. God will reward you. I know that's what we've been taught. That's not the way it works.
Amen.
It's whatever God has decreed for you.
That's right.
Because if that was the case, what about the people out there that's not living right and some of the things you're asking for they've got?
They got it. Come on, Pastor. Preach it.
Huh?
Preach it.
So it's not about that. Mm-hmm. It's what God has, amen,
right,
designed for you.
Amen.
Every instance of your life has been designed by God.
Yes, sir. Well,
you know, we give God credit for being the creator, mm-hmm, but we don't give him any credit for being a designer.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, God just created the world and said, all right, and I'm going to step back and see what y'all going to do.
Mm-hmm.
No.
No way.
A fly,
yes,
doesn't wither its left wing unless God has designed it and ordered it, because God has to enable it,
mm-hmm,
for it to happen. What did Paul say to those Athenians on Mars Hill?
Mm-hmm.
He said, fellas, in him you what?
We live.
You live, we live. We what?
We
move. We what? We have our being.
Yeah.
In him.
Mm-hmm.
He has to enable it.
That's right.
Possible.
Amen.
What is possible is what God has enabled.
Power.
And he has the power to do everything. But his power,
mm-hmm,
is regulated by his will. If it's not God's will,
mm-hmm,
it's not
going
to happen.
Going,
and when we pray, don't pray with the idea that you're going to influence God into doing something because of what you said and how you said it. What is prayer anyway? We even define it wrong. Prayer, you may write this down if you want to, it's privileged communication with God. Just the privilege to commune with him, to talk with him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, most of us think that we're not, the only communication with God is to be asking for something.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't like it if the only time your children spoke to you is if they wanted something, would you? Huh? Can't we just commune with God?
Mm-hmm.
There are petitions. Absolutely, there are petitions. But there's praise, mm-hmm. adoration, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and just communing with him. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. just communing with him. Mm-hmm. And so that's what prayer really is. Mm-hmm. And then when you really have an understanding, you mature, you never end the prayer without saying, Lord, your will is done. Mm-hmm. And Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane,
yes.
Father, if it be enabled, if it be possible. If you have enabled it, mm-hmm. let this cup pass. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm getting ready to go through. Amen. If you have enabled it, mm-hmm. let it not be. Mm-hmm. Then he uses
yes.
grammatically what we
yes.
term
amen.
A strong mm-hmm. adversative conjunction. Mm-hmm. He says, Allah in the Greek. Mm-hmm. In English is translated, but.
Mm-hmm.
But what? Not my will.
Not my will.
Not my will. But what?
God.
Your will. Your will. So when you're praying, Lord, your will.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say amen, now you have aligned it up right.
Mm-hmm.
They've taught us that amen meant so let it be. No, it's not.
Right, right, right.
Amen in Greek this is amen. Amen means truly. So it is. And truly is what it is. So now if you say, Lord, your will, then when you say it is, you've aligned it correctly.
Right.
Because some of us, when we pray, then we're confused, we're frustrated. And if God's people are depressed this morning
mm-hmm.
because we're gauging life in the sense of what we're doing now.
Right, right.
But if we follow the scriptures in the sense of what God has done
mm-hmm.
for us
mm-hmm.
before we ever got here.
That's
right. Amen. Somebody said, well, what did he do before I got here?
Bring it out.
Amen. Bring it out. In Romans, he said, now, before Jacob, Esau got here,
mm-hmm.
he said, I loved
Jacob
and I hated Esau. So when Jacob prayed, Jacob said, thank you, Lord,
mm-hmm.
before either one of them were born.
Mm-hmm.
In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4,
mm-hmm.
which you don't hear much preaching about,
right.
it says, according as he being God, chose us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. So God picked out who his people were before he ever created them.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You were created to the design of having been chosen.
That's right. Thank God.
And so if I take these little 1,200 months, if I live 100 years, and I don't think I will.
Bring it out. Mm-hmm.
And I compare them to eternity of having been placed in him before he ever created me. Amen. Regardless of what happens to me while I'm walking around on this earth,
yes.
God has given me a great deal.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
We're blessed this morning. Even if you're broke, you're blessed this morning.
Yes.
Oh, how much you're blessed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're sick this morning,
mm-hmm.
oh, how much you're blessed if you're chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Paul speaks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. And he said, for this momentary light afflictions.
Mm-hmm.
What about it, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
They're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Right.
Our problem is we don't put an evaluation on heaven. Many of us think that heaven is only possible, only important when we die. No, heaven is important now. What I think about heaven, amen, constitutes my happiness right now.
Right now, already God. That's right, Pastor. That's right.
But the problem is, most of God's people, we don't believe it.
Don't believe it.
Possibilities. Let's go back to our document. It must be comprehended that The prevailing cogitation should not be how does God relate to mankind, as this is certainly not central to the process of why things are or how things happen or happen. When the scriptures are diligently searched, the metaphysical status of eternal objects. What do we say eternal objects are? That which really is. Obviously not so, not as we view them on earth. Nevertheless, even such questions do have spiritual importance. The crux of reasoning in the doctrine of eternal objects is their annihilation of the importance of what creatures in and of themselves do in time. I think I'll repeat that. The crux of reasoning, not in what we're doing in time, but in the doctrine of eternal objects, is that they annihilate the importance of what creatures in and of themselves do in time. We've got to put the emphasis on eternity, not time. Yeah. We've got to prioritize eternity, not time. Mm-hmm. Time is too short.
Mm-hmm. Numbers. That's right. Amen.
Come on, pal.
Yeah.
This is why we're so forlong and messed up when the Lord takes one of us out of here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's no tragedy. The death of a child of God is not a tragedy.
Not a tragedy. That's it.
The prime example, Jesus' death, a manifestation of his death on Calvary, was not a tragedy. It was a triumph.
That's right. Amen.
A child of God that leaves this life, it is not a tragedy. It is a triumph. Paul states in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, rather 2 Corinthians, if this earthly house, or when this earthly house, or this tabernacle is destroyed.
Glory to God. What?
Not if, when. Everybody in here is going to die if the Lord tarries.
Oh. Yes.
And I know they don't like that kind of preaching. Say, Pastor, that's not good. Amen. Hey, look at the whole picture. When you take life and you put the essence of life in what you're doing now, as you travel through the time capsule, amen, yeah, you're going to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. But Paul says, this earthly body will be destroyed.
Yes, it will be.
Some of us will live longer than others, but ultimately. These earthly bodies will be destroyed.
Yes.
Problem is, many of God's people, we don't really believe that. Even though we go to funerals every day. Every day. Weekly, monthly. Somebody that I know of leaves here. And just as sure as you're breathing, you're going to leave here. But is that the end of you? No. Listen to the rest. Mm-hmm. When this earth, the house of this tabernacle is destroyed, we have what?
A
building of God.
Not
natural, not physical. Mm-hmm. Not made with hands.
Uh-huh.
Because where is it? Eternal. Uh-huh. It's an eternal object.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Not in time. Say eternal. Where it is?
In the heavenlies.
Where are the heavenlies? Ephesians 1 and 3, what?
In Christ.
In Christ Jesus.
Glory to God.
We're in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Christ is your hope.
Yes, right.
Christ is your only hope this morning.
Yes.
But oh, what a hope to have. Huh?
Thank God.
The problem is we don't believe it.
That's it.
God is talking to us, but God's people are not listening. Paul writes on another occasion, he said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What tragedy is it if I'm absent from the body and present with the Lord?
Oh, none.
I say all the time, something happened to me, of course, y'all want to take a few moments to have a little memorial and do it. And of course, if you want to stay all day, sometimes I hear him say, don't be too long. Yeah, I won't be here. If y'all want to be stay all day, that's fine. Now, we weep as Jesus wept. For Lazarus, because of the broken fellowship. But Paul writes in our gospel, we don't weep as those that what? Have more hope. What has God enabled? He has enabled the essence of you in Christ forever. But the problem is we put no evaluation on that. What we're doing is we're going to the bookstores and we're picking up your best life now. What's the ultimate value of your best life now if your best life is short? Now, where are you up here? What? Your carcass. Where are you? You out of the time capsule.
Out.
Is that a bad thing? No, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I say, you know, you want to weep, but weep in hope. Don't be saying, poor pastor, don't want to poor pastor nothing. I'm in better shape than you.
That's right.
Go.
That's right.
In Christ. But we put no valuation on that.
That's the problem.
I'm talking about God's people. I don't expect the world to, but God's people. To be with him forever. That should mean more.
Oh, glory.
It means nothing for the preacher today.
Nothing.
Enjoying everyday living. Enjoying everyday life. Now here we come along and we just edit God's word. We just change the whole course. Even in the Old Testament, what it said? Man is born of a woman, what?
Few days.
And what?
Full of trouble.
We're going to change that thing. And somebody come to me and say, Pastor, I'm having problems. I said, okay, all right. Join the club, call me in.
Amen. God, no.
If you're in a well between the womb and the tomb, you're having problems. If you're breathing and alive, you have problems.
Yes, Lord.
What do you expect? Our expectations on this earth are too high.
Come on, pal.
Few days are full of troubles. And some of us charge God and say, God didn't do me a good deal. God has never lied. Everybody in here this morning you're having some problem. No, I don't follow you around and I haven't been wiretapping you or anything. No. If you're alive, you have this having some problem. We have different problems. Everybody's having some problem. Our expectations. So what has God enabled? So when something's going wrong, instead of saying, what is this?
Come on.
We should understand that God is a God of purpose.
Yes.
We should be asking, Lord, what is this for? Not what is this?
That's right.
Because it is whatever God has designed and decreed.
That's right.
So God, Lord wouldn't, oh, and Lord wouldn't, he wouldn't design for somebody to die.
Come on with that.
Well, did he design for Jesus to die or was it an accident? There are no accidents in God.
Preach it.
What is an accident? It's an unplanned event. There's no such thing as accident in God.
Amen.
Because he's the great designer.
Mm-hmm.
And the great planner.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Give me about 5 minutes and I'm going to wrap this up this morning. Oh my God. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get through this, but the crux of reason in the doctrine of eternal objects is their annihilation of the importance of what creatures in and of themselves do in time. The election doctrine certifies that God has eternally accomplished all that creatures are believed to contribute to God. Amen. Oh my God. Don't you know that God has already set the stage And we are just creatures on it that are operating according to the design. I go to the corner and I turn left. I go two blocks and some fool come to the stop sign and hit me. Bam! If I had only turned right. Don't do that. Don't beat yourself up because of things that you've done. You know what you did? You did what was decreed for you to do.
Absolutely.
One of the questions yesterday is, do you believe in free will? Yeah, you have a free will to be depraved, to be sinners, because that's what you were designed.
That's what we were designed. Mm-hmm.
Are you free to do other than what God has designed? No. And so when something happens, don't beat yourself all up. That's what was ordered in your life. You think that if I had just done this, done that, the other, you wouldn't happen? I thank God for the session yesterday. The question, you know what? The Lord allows two people to come together in union, in physical union, and they have a child. And people want to call it an accident. Can you actually look at a child or a person and call them an accident? No. So well, it shouldn't happen. It was designed. What do you mean it shouldn't happen? Well, God wouldn't allow something like that to happen. Then how did it happen? Who's the giver of life? God. Who else can give life? God. So if it happened, it was decreed.
That's it.
I said, well, what about human responsibility? Your responding is to the extent of you being what? Depraved. And if you act any other way than depraved, it's because God intervened and caused you to do the good.
Right.
God has, so you don't understand, man is born the progeny of Adam. You're a sinner. You take a little child, you don't have to teach him how to do wrong.
Oh, no. No.
You got to.
No way.
None of us have to go to school and learn how to be a sinner.
No.
But you have to teach them what's right.
That's what we have to do.
When we do right, it's because God has vetoed our doing wrong, amen, and God is busy. Otherwise, we all kill each other.
Yes,
and when we see all of these things happening during the week, and we pick up the newspaper and want to have you say, God is just allowing depravity to manifest as to what it is. It's just like the stars and things all colliding up there in the universe. Stars died. No different here on earth. And see, I don't know, I'm going to have to just close the day, but when they, when things happen, the ministry is at a loss to explain it to God's people. Because we want to rationalize. Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham, goes on Virginia Tech campus and he told the students, because they asked, where was God? He said, listen, don't blame God. God had nothing to do with this today. I would rather think that God in the scripture actually is what we go deals with. It's God's purpose. Why did he let that manifest? For the testimony's sake, that mankind is depraved. Could God have stopped it? Stopped it. God had to enable it. So, what are you saying, preacher?
That's right.
Otherwise, you got to be like the process theism doctrine. and the open theism doctrine that teaches that there are some forces out there that God doesn't have control of yet. Why did some die that day and others live? What's the difference? God's design. In the Old Testament,
come on.
He said, I create good and I create what?
Evil.
Of course, Hank Hanegraaff said that doesn't mean that. That means that God created the potential for evil. What are you saying? If you create the potential of the potency of the power for it, you created it.
That's it.
If you created the possibility of the enablement of it happening, then you created it. So well, then how can God create something that's the opposite of him? For the purpose of a comparison. If you never knew evil, you could never appreciate good. If we never knew chaos, we could never appreciate peace. If hate was never manifested, we could never appreciate love. Here's the way it winds up, and I won't get to it today. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, says, to the intent, or for the purpose, to the principalities, and the powers, it might be known the manifold wisdom of God. How are you going to do it, Lord? By the church. Oh my God. What powerful words. That in the end, the testimony will be for all to see how great I am. But you see, in order to testify that, I've got to show you the bad for you to appreciate the good. I got to show you the sorrow for you to appreciate the joy.
Yes,
and so when you're going through things, and you're going, everybody's going through something this morning. When you're troubled, when times seem and things seem to be working against you.
Yes.
When things seem to be dragging you down and making your life miserable. Don't fall down. Don't fall for that. Huh? It's just a fleeting moment of things that you're going through time for the manifestation of what God is going to bring out to the end. And so when you're troubled, look up. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Because this is what you know. That weeping may endure for the night, but joy. Can you say joy?
Yes.
Can you say joy?
Joy.
Joy. Cometh in the morning.
Yes,
it might be the next day. And I think of Apostle Paul.
Yes. Come on.
As he writes his final letter to Timothy. He said, I fought the good fight. Because God had let him know that his time of exit was near. So I run my course. And what was awaiting Paul was execution.
That's right.
By the very evil Emperor Nero.
Yes.
And we, some of us have studied history, as the fellow that burned down Rome in order to get a platform for getting rid of God's people. And he did a whole lot of other things that are awful. And as Paul writes to Timothy, he's not praying, Lord, deliver me.
Nope.
As you delivered the three Hebrew boys.
Nope.
Out of the fiery furnace. He's not praying, the Lord, here, deliver me. As you delivered Daniel from the lion's den. He's not praying, Lord, deliver me as you delivered the children of Israel and led them through the Red Sea on dry ground. He's not praying, Lord, deliver me as you delivered Israel from the Philistines. No. But as Jesus on Calvary and manifestation.
Yes.
They say you save others. Why not save yourself? He said, now, actually, he was using anthropomorphic terms and said, my father had thousands of legions. Amen. The testimony is that in the garden, when they came upon him and he spoke, they fell back like dead men. All he had to do was speak the word. Huh? But he went to Calvary and he died. Why did he do that? Because of God's purpose. And then the scriptures say he gave up the ghost,
yes,
as the King James say. But he yielded his spirit out of the time capsule. So when you're going through problems and troubles, understand that sometimes it's the design of God. And instead of crying and weeping and being depressed, look up. Trust in him. That if it's his will, we say amen.
Amen.
Can you thank him for his will?
Yes, Lord.
Even if it's against your will.
Come on,
pal.
Right.
Can you, y'all hear me?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Can you thank him for his plan?
Yes,
his design.
Yeah.
If it's against what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You see, faith is not trusting God to do what you want.
Right.
If you really trust him, faith is trusting him to do what he wants. That what he wants to manifest. And so Paul writes Timothy, and he is not praying for deliverance, for God had already showed him. But oh my God, God had already given him a glimpse. In another place he wrote, I knew a man over 14 years ago. Whether in the flesh or not out of the flesh. He said, I don't know. If I was in it, I didn't know it. If I was out of it, I didn't miss it. But the Lord caught me up in the third heaven, and he showed Paul, oh my God. I believe he showed him the body of Christ. There's no scripture for that now. But I believe, because Paul came back, and after that, they were arguing Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. They're gonna take you, they're going to persecute you, and they're going to kill you. And Paul said, hey, fellas, don't break my heart. God had told me to go. Don't you all break my heart. It's not only am I willing to suffer for him, I'm willing to die for him. And so as he writes Timothy, he's not praying. He said, the time of my departure, he said, oh my God.
Amen.
The time of my departure is at hand. It's time for me to leave here.
Amen.
Now, I said this to him down. We're not bringing this before you each week. For the purpose of you saying that there's nothing to this life. What we're doing is showing you the big picture of eternity as it compared with the instantaneous picture of time. And what you are as an eternal object so far excels what you are in time. And finally, who you are in the body of Christ, as a member of the body of Christ in the heavens of in Christ Jesus. Just acknowledge in comparison who you are and what you are doing right now. Today in these bodies and what you're going through, because whatever you're going through, it's going to pass. But what remains is what always was, and that's you in the body of Christ in eternity. We shall continue next week. God bless you.